Harihi Om Sahanavavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahavirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavatitamastumavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sorry. Okay, so then from the Bhagavat-sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 1. Fullness of Bhagavan, page 15. If liberty is not your mercy, liberation is not your mercy, what to speak of getting the position of Indra, right? So the point, the Kumaras are making the point liberation is not the Lord's mercy, because that's even given to the demons. So it's more of a punishment kind of thing. You know, either you're opposing the Lord's, you know, authority and his direction on how the universe should work, as the demons are, or you are also opposing Krishna's position, you know, as a person and all that. So therefore, then you're merging in Brahman. So it's actually a punishment, though you think it's going to be nice. It's just like material sense gratification. We think it's going to be nice, but it actually just gives us trouble. So the same kind of principle. So you're saying, what to speak of getting the position of Indra? So if liberation is bad, then lower than that is the position of Indra. And so that must be more bad. Right? Let us remain in hellish existence because of sinful actions. If our minds can achieve prema at your lotus feet, like bees which are not injured by the thorns as they taste the honey. If your words can remain glorious at your lotus, if our words can remain glorious at your lotus feet like tulsi leaves, and if our ear holes can remain filled with hearing your qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:49. You know, so we're starting to see that there's the internal and external aspects of it. There's the there's the situation you're in. Then there's the internal feeling, and then there's the, excuse me, external manifestation. So they don't care what the external situation is, as long as they can be absorbed in the Lord. So it's such a nice taste, you don't care. You know, let's say just like, let's see. Let us say you can stay in a, you know, super first class, you know, arrangement, like some, let's, you know, very nice, you know, hotel or something, or things like that. Maybe, you know, they always have those fancy suites, the presidential suite or whatever they call them, and this and that. All facility and everything like that. But let's say there's no food or no water, but it's such a nice environment. Or you could have, you know, a very simple environment, not very fancy at all, but you have food and water, right? Which would you take, right? Because the food and water is so important to you, you don't care if it's in a bad situation. So in the same way as they're saying, is the taste of Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that they don't actually care if they're in externally a bad situation, because they're so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that the happiness and distress of this world that we take is so important is not actually important at all. Right? It just doesn't compare, you know. Does that make sense? It's inconsequential. Like that. The experience is so great. Okay. And then, so that's one thing. And then here now, the Acharya is pointing out another thing here, is that hinting at their offense, they pray for bhakti because they feel that they've offended the Vaishnavas there. So for that, then they're going to suffer in a hellish condition. But their point is even suffering in this hellish condition, that's what that is. See these, like that spot on the wall here? And oh no, that's coming from somewhere else. One's on this side. Okay. Yeah. The hellish condition means they're worried about that. That'll be a hellish condition, but they're not so worried about that because they feel, okay, we have committed an offense here. But they're praying that they may always be absorbed in prema. You know, by tasting what they've tasted in connection with the Lord, that taste is so much greater that they feel that's what we want to be absorbed in. So if they can always be absorbed in that, then they're fine no matter where they are. So Jiva Goswami is saying, hinting at their offense, they pray for bhakti. O Lord, previously we had no sin. Now all sins have appeared because we have been cursed by your two devotees. Therefore, we should take birth, bhava, in hell because of these sins. They could not actually go to hell, since it is said, tad ajigama utara purvardhayo aslesha vinashau tad vyapadeshat. With attainment of Brahman, present sinful actions have no effect, and previous karmas are destroyed, since that is indicated probably in the Shruti or by in the Shruti or but indicated by Shruti, whatever. Brahma Sutra 4.1.13. However, when the Kumaras beg pardon for sins which would take them to hell, they show their appreciation for the great position of Jayan Vijay, similar to that the Lord describes as follows. Atmaramas chamuneyo nir granta ap yurukrame kurvan ya haitukam haitukim bhaktim itam bhuta guno harihi. Some sages who are atmaramas, beyond the scriptures, false ego and rules, also practice unmotivated pure bhakti to the master of pure bhakti, Krishna, since he possesses qualities attractive to even them. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10. Let there be hell, but that is insignificant. We do not fear that, right? Because they're liberated, so they're not worried about whatever situation they're in. Let us not be averse to the Lord. This is the root of all misfortune. They request this plaintively. Nu indicates conjecture. Let us remain in hell if our minds can enjoy your lotus feet as if we were bees, expecting only your sweetness, not realization of impersonal Brahman. The Lord forgave the Kumaras for their offense to the gatekeepers. There was only a semblance of offense for them because their show of anger towards the gatekeepers was the desire of the Lord. Right? So there was an arrangement for this to happen, because the gatekeepers were thinking one day, oh, you know, Krishna is complete. And so therefore it'd be natural for him to also want to fight in his completeness of his personality, you know, since they are themselves, you know, fighters, And so then they thought that, you know, if he didn't have this, it'd be incomplete. So then how can he fight? Who would fight with him? Because, you know, who is equal to him? No one. But they, as the doorkeepers, they've been given that potency that they're very great fighters. So they can represent the Lord like that. So then they thought that, well, hey, let us, why don't we fight with the Lord? And then in this way, give him pleasure to fulfill that desire that must be there. So in so doing, then the Lord is pleased with that idea. So then how to arrange that? You know, because otherwise he doesn't fight in the spiritual world, only in the material world. So then, or at least not in Vaikuntha there, right? So how would they end up in the material world in that? You know, not that he just can't take there and this and that, but the point is the Lord always likes to make these wonderful arrangements. That's pastimes. Pastimes means You don't have anything to do. And so you find something interesting to do. So it's not that Krishna, it's an occupation and he has to do like this and that and so many things. No, it's just of interest to him. He has that interest. Therefore, then he makes arrangements. And whenever he does things, he also does multiple things at once. So Jaya and Vijay want to, do service, render services, fighting. Then that means they need to be in the material world. So how to get them into the material world in some interesting way. Then you also have the arrangement of the four Kumaras wanting to, take darshan of the Lord, but also then they could be delivered. So then by them coming and by this arrangement that's there, then they would curse them to go to the material world. And at the same time as they, by getting darshan directly of the Lord, then they would become pure devotees. And Krishna always establishes he protects his devotees. So he comes personally to do that with Lakshmi. So many things get done at once, right? And we get inspired to see how the Lord protects. There's a practical example. So by all these nice arrangements, then it all happens at once. So that's why for them, they're not, I mean, how you say, so it says it was the desire of the Lord. So it was arrangement of the Lord that would happen like this. And so they took part in this arrangement. So it's not exactly, he just wanted it to come down like this. And so then his devotees, they're taken care of and protected. The four Kumaras become devotees. So all this, comes out very nice. So we see it's one of the major pastimes that's always there. And then after that, then Hiranyakashipu, and then Ravana, like this. So, it takes on very, very major pastime.
Maharaj,
Yes.
it seems that Krishna is always with his devotees,
Yes.
and even if the devotee plays the role of the demon, like Jai and Vijay, but it is only with his devotee, Krishna. He's only with his, he's always
Yes, he's always with
material world,
because,
spiritual world.
yes, doesn't matter when he comes to the material world to perform his pastimes, he comes with his entourage, with his devotees. And even then, you see, is that the demigods who are also devotees, then they all come down and they appear in the Yadu dynasty to take part in the pastimes there. So Krishna always has devotees around him, and that's the specialty, it means the Lord will always have associates, but we see like Paramatma, in the Paramatma feature, there's no associates. In the Brahman feature, there's no associates. But as Bhagavan, then there's associates.
Yes.
So we see is that in these features, then there may or may not be associates depending upon, what office he's performing. But Krishna, he's always surrounded by loving devotees. He's never alone
Yes.
like that. So we see when Krishna comes to his pastimes as devotees in Vrindavan and Dwarka, Mathura, there's always devotees. Does that make sense? But like you see, Ramachandra is out in the forest, it's just him, Lakshman, and Sita. There's no devotees. They come along, right? And that's but so it's that with Krishna is you don't see where he's actually alone. He's always has so many devotees. Because then more rasas going on, more things. But like let's say Ramachandra, it's a specific taste. Well, with Krishna, it's all the ta all taste. He is taste. Does that make sense?
This is the reason why it is so important, the association of devotee.
Yes, because
Because
Krishna.
this is the only way to be Krishna's, in the associated Krishna, what is close to associated Krishna.
Yes. I mean, it means you have the aspect of, definitely it means you have the aspect of we're going to gain the association of Krishna through the association of devotees. They know how to associate with Krishna. So therefore, we can learn from them. Because for Krishna, It's about relationship. So it's not just you pop up out of nowhere. There has to be a relationship. So you're there because you're related with somebody. So for Krishna, since he's unlimited, there's no problem in unlimited relationships. So it's not that the farther back you get, then you know, seemingly by our calculation, that therefore the less you have interaction with Krishna. You know, as we see is that the cowherd boys, then they would all be sitting in rings around Krishna. You know, because everyone wants to sit as close as possible. So the first, you know, boys will sit, so they'll sit in the closest ring. Next boys will sit just around that. The next one's around that. And however many, you know, thousands of boys will sit. Yes. But each boy thought he was sitting in the first row and directly interacting with Krishna. Even if he's sitting behind Krishna, he's still facing Krishna. Even if you're in the last row behind Krishna, you're still in the first row facing Krishna. So the whole, and you see with the gopis, that he's in the rasa dance, and each, he expanded, so each gopi is dancing with Krishna. She thinks, I'm the only one dancing with Krishna. Right? That's why they became proud. So then Krishna left, because they're supposed to be seeing it is that they're dancing with Krishna, but then Radharani is the topmost, so they see themselves in the proper hierarchy.
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
Yes. So that's one aspect, is that our connection to Krishna is only through devotees, and Krishna is only going to relate to us as a servant of a particular devotee or a particular line of devotees. Right? It's not, otherwise, what's the meaning? You know, it's just like, let's say you meet your cousin. What does that mean? What does cousin mean? Right? It means they're the offspring of your mother or father's brothers or sisters. You know, like that, or the aunts and uncles. So then they're going to be, because they're the siblings of your parents. You know,
yes.
Does that make sense? You know, so like that, everything is connected. And so it's not a problem. Like, I mean, we may not have experience, but I've heard of, I've come across two devotees where they have huge family. When the family gets together, there's like 150 people come. You know, it's a family gathering. So everybody there, you know, all the brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and all this and that. And everybody, again, there's 150 people. And they all sit around, and somehow or another they know what to do. Right?
Yes.
You know, so then it works out. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. So, yes, so it has to be by relationship. That's one thing, is that it's through the devotee, so it's always within a relationship, and that's your relationship with Krishna. We don't have a direct relationship. Radharani has a direct relationship. Nanda and Yashoda have a direct relationship. You know, they have, these leaders of the rasas, they have a direct relationship. But even they, it's Radharani has her father, and he's friends with Nanda and that, and you know, so there's even that, there's still people. And so then they're known as, she's known as the daughter of Rishabhanu. So she's Rishabhanu Nandini, like this. So even then, they still have all these aspects and relationships. Then the other one is that one should be comfortable in the association of devotees, because in the spiritual realm, there's so many devotees. So if you don't like being around devotees, you're going to have a real problem in the spiritual realm, because that's all that's there. It's going to be Krishna and Balaram and devotees. And even Balaram is in the mood of a devotee. You know, so there's no question of getting out of this whole idea of devotees. It's not so. Krishna is always surrounded by loving devotees. So that means that you're talking about, you know, a lot of devotees. But at the same time, you never feel left out. That's Krishna's unlimited ability. He's unlimited. His potencies are unlimited. So therefore, even though we're limited, but we don't feel left out because we're in Krishna. Yeah? Is that okay?
Okay, no, thank you.
Yeah?
Yes, yes.
O Lord, called by the devotees, our eyes have attained bliss by seeing you, who have appeared with this form. We offer respects to the Lord, who appears difficult to see for those who do not serve the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-50. In two verses, the Kumaras indicate that hell is better than impersonal liberation, since liberation is contrary to bhakti. We desire bhakti only to you. Having obtained what is natural, we become successful. That is expressed in this verse. Right? So what is natural is the service attitude of the living entity for the Supreme Lord. We offer, that is expressed, no, is it? Yes, that is expressed in this verse. We offer respects to you, who are invisible to those devoid of bhakti. Antatmanam. This much should be said. They were gurus for the best of gurus. Those who had perfected Brahma Vidya. Concerning these great sages, Amshuman says, oh, how can I, so bewildered, think of you, who are concentrated knowledge, who are realized naturally by sages like Sananda, who have destroyed illusion and the conception of difference caused by the gunas of Maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.8.23. Right, so now he's pointing out the greatness of the Kumaras. Brahma says, I performed austerities for creation of the various planets in the beginning. From that austerity, which continued for a long time, the Lord became the four Kumaras. In this day of Brahma, they thoroughly explained knowledge of the soul, which was lost during the inundation at the end of the previous day of Brahma, and which sages saw directly in their minds. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.5. Right, because they are an incarnation. They're considered the first incarnation. You know, when it gives the list of the incarnations of the Lord, then they're the first. Tasmai mridate kashayaya tamasah param darshyati bhagavan Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara shows the Supreme Lord beyond darkness for destroying contamination. Chandogya Upanishad. Siddhis can be an obstacle for a devotee who is near perfection, but not for one who has achieved perfection. Kapila says, the body along with the senses, controlled by previous impressions, continues to live as long as the Parabdha Karmas remain. That person does not again enjoy the body or its extensions, such as sons, since he has attained samadhi and has realized his position as Atma. The body is like a dream body. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:28-38. So, they, even though they may have all siddhis, they won't be bewildered by them, because once you've come to the perfectional stage, you're beyond being disturbed by all these things. So what's lacking is you don't have that positive aspect of bhakti. That's what's lacking in liberation. But otherwise, then, you know, they have the detachment, the knowledge is there, all these different good qualities are there, but that's not enough for the soul. They have to have bhakti. Then it becomes complete. Thus, Sridhar Swami explains that the Kumara's anger arose by the Lord's desire. which makes the impossible happen. Though they had destroyed all illusion, giving rise to difference based on the gunas of Maya, they had achieved constant absorption in the bliss of Brahman, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15.43. Right? So in other words, they and their position, they can't be affected by the modes of nature or anything connected with the body in that. So for them coming there and not being let in and them getting angry because we're sages and don't you know who we are, you know, so this is the original instance of you, don't you know who I am, that kind of thing, right? But they're on the liberated state, they're beyond that. They wouldn't come to that platform. They would just come and just see and look at the persons. And they would probably discuss with them, well, who are you? You know, why are you, you know, we've come here to see. You know, they would just discuss these kind of things like that. They never become angry because they're in this neutral state. It's like, what's the need? So it's by the Lord's arrangement that they became angry and cursed them. They had achieved constant absorption in the bliss of Brahman, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15.43. Elsewhere, it is said that those fixed in Brahman have no disturbance of heart. Narada says, when one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, when it is peaceful in all activities and is touched by the happiness of Brahman, the consciousness does not deviate at any time. Like, so they won't come out of that liberated mentality. Moreover, it is said that their hearts, let me just check the sound so it unfolds. There we go. Moreover,
It was when you were reading the verse of Bhagavatam 7 Canto, it is written, consciousness does deviate at any time. I think it is a mistake, no? You read, it does not deviate.
It means they have no disturbance of heart.
Huh? Yes.
Yeah, there's no disturbance. Why I said they are?
No, but it is written. It is written, Maharaj, you know, the verse. The consciousness does deviate at any time. Bhagavatam 7:15.35.
Just the verse. Corrected.
Sorry?
In the end, it is written the consciousness does deviate at any time. It should be does not.
Yes.
Yeah, does not. Okay. Okay. Does not.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Okay?
Okay.
Yes. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the son of Vyasadev, Sukadeva Goswami, who destroys all sin, and who, though fixed in his own bliss with no distractions, became attracted to the pastimes of Krishna and mercifully sped the Bhagavatam, which describes Krishna and reveals the rasa of his pastimes. So here again, he's fixed in his own bliss with no distractions, but he's attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. So they can't be distracted by anything material. So if they're distracted here, then it indicates that it must be something to do with the pastime of the Lord, because that's the only way of the liberated soul could be distracted. Okay, then that's Bhagavatam 12:12.69. Purvapaksha, a doubt may come up. Perhaps they took to bhakti just to teach others, or did so under the influence of previous impressions. Right, so just to teach others, they took the bhakti, though, you know, actually the impersonal Brahman, that's just, you know, that's the natural position. Or it's some previous impression, some previous samskars, right? Uttara. That is not so for both reasons. That is not so. For both reasons are impossible for a person fixed in Brahman. I would put a comma after so, right? Because he has attained his sarup, because he has achieved perfection, the last state, he does not see his body, whether it has risen from a chair or remains there. or whether it is coming or going by fate, just as a drunk man does not know if he is wearing cloth or not. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:28-37. So they wouldn't be, because they would be in that neutral state. They wouldn't be, because they're on that platform, because to take that mood of teaching and this and that, then you have to function in that Madhyama platform. On the Uttama platform, you don't see any of the distinctions there in the way of everything's transcendental. So, you know, therefore there's no, what's the need to instruct? So it's only the Madhyama will make the distinction. Someone's favorable to the Lord, someone's not favorable to the Lord, and those who are innocent. Right? Does that make sense? And the Lord himself. The Kumaras are also described as follows. My mental sons born before you, the Kumaras, having given up all desires in this world, were wandering to various planets through the sky. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-12. It is also explained that there is no obstacle becoming attracted to the Lord by chance for persons fixed in Brahman. Right, so because they're on that transcendental platform, there's nothing blocking. Like for us, it will be attachment to pious activities, impious activities, you know, different things that are desire for enjoyment or liberation. These things are going to get in the way, but for them, they have nothing standing in the way. At that moment, the Lord with lotus navel, who appeared within the hearts of the deserving, understanding that his servants had offended the Kumaras, came to the seventh gate with Lakshmi, moving his feet, which should be sought by the great renowned sages. Right, so moving his feet means he came on his own feet. So that personal aspect that he himself cares, he himself's making that endeavor, rather than he just appeared by some mystic power. You know, just a little puff of smoke, and then there's the Lord. But he came by his feet. You know, then it brings that image that of how the Lord is caring, how he makes that endeavor himself. It is also said that, so that's Bhagavatam 3:15-37. It's also said that Atmaramas become devoted to the Lord, similar to what was described as Srimad Bhagavatam 12:12-69, Sukadev's devotion. O Lord, those qualities are recited repeatedly by the sages. Your qualities, which bring about the highest bliss, are the subject of discussion through sages who have burnt all contamination by the fire of knowledge and detachment, and who find enjoyment in you through the individual moods of love directed to you. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:3-11. And Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-50, quoted above, Tenesha Nivritim Avapur Alam Drisho Na. It is stated that they directly experience bliss. The Kumaras also criticized impersonal liberation in their praise of the Lord, giving the reasons. One cannot say that the Kumaras were actually not attracted to the Lord, since it is said that the Lord's glance gave them happiness. Swena Valoka Kalaya Haridi Sam Sprishantam. The Lord touched the hearts of all people with his skillful glance of affection. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-39. Therefore, Bhagavatam is the real Atma. Therefore, Bhagavan is the real Atma, called Brahman. Since he is the cause of enjoyment, so it's one of the names of Krishna, the person, is Brahman. He is the cause of enjoyment for the Atmaramas. Bhagavan is a more intense manifestation than Brahman, for it was said that the Kumaras developed symptoms of bhava in their minds and bodies on smelling the tulsi from the Lord's feet. Thus, it is understood that seeing and thinking of the Lord's angas and paraphernalia gives variety of bliss, or I would say give or gives varieties of bliss or produces varieties of bliss. This bliss is the play of the Swarup Shakti of the Lord, since it cannot arise in any other way. Because these transcendental symptoms, they have to come through the Swarup Shakti, through the internal potency. They can't come another way, because in relationship to Krishna. That's why then, as yesterday it was discussed, that the, what was it? The shadow of Baba Bas, right? Is that what you said?
Ratiyabas.
Yes. These things then are in association with devotees. They may take these up, but it still has some connection. They're not just going to happen on their own like that. But here then, they're actually gaining that, because now they are associating with the devotees, associating with the Lord. Vritti. Having proved that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities, which attract even the sages, fixed in impersonal realization. Next, the author refutes the misconception that the Lord's qualities are material upadis imposed on Brahman. This misconception is refuted by the counter-argument that if we accept that the vigraha of the Lord is material sattva, then it would not be suitable to manifest Brahman. Moreover, it is seen that the Lord's qualities have the potency to make one forget the bliss of Brahman, as is the case with the Kumaras. This would not be possible if the meditation on the Lord's form is corruption in meditation of Brahman, or is corruption, or probably is a corruption. Okay, Purva Paksha. Since there was great bliss, okay, so this is the argument, right? Since there was great bliss, it was ultimately intense bliss of impersonal realization on seeing the Lord, which caused great bliss. Since the form of the Lord is an upadi, it is Brahman which was revealed in the functions of the consciousness endued with a portion of Vishuddha Sattva. Brahman, right, so their whole idea is that when you have the Vishuddha Sattva, then that being applied on Brahman, then you get Ishwara, you get the form of the Lord. So for them is that, no, the ecstasy is that even you are achieving, are experiencing some ecstasy in connection with the Lord, that's still coming from Brahman, because it's Brahman that's been covered. Therefore, any statements of non-difference concerning the form of the Lord and Parabrahman depend on realizing them as one. Right, so they're saying when you realize they're one, then you'll appreciate, you know, this aspect of the difference, because it's one. So therefore, the Lord and Brahman are one. So they don't understand that it works the other way also, right? They're using the argument from one side. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like where there's fire, where there's smoke, there's fire. It works that way, because all smoke is coming from fire. But you can have fire without smoke. It doesn't work the other way, right? So then they're using, so it's an incomplete, presentation. And that they're saying is that when you see that they're one, then you'll actually understand. But they don't understand as, yes, they see him as one, but the point is, it's if they're one, then Brahman is coming from the person, right? So that oneness is there, but there's a difference, because they're accepting that they're one, but there's two different manifestations, or one's a manifestation, one's the original. So they're not catching that why can't it work the other way then? You know, so they just have an attachment to this impersonal realization. Because why? Because they can be God. So they can't say to the Vaishnavas, well, yours is just an attachment also, but they don't want to be God. They want to be servant of God. So then what's the motive there? Well, there it's motive. They want to be God. They've always been, I'm the controller and enjoyer. And so therefore now I can't do that. I'll just directly become God. Then one realizes the highest bliss through oneness of the Upadi, the form of the Lord, with Brahman, rather than realizing the Lord's fragrance, etc., separately. So they're saying, it's not separately, you're exceeding with Brahman. So the same way as Brahman is realized in its connection with the Lord. That's why you're getting something from Brahman. So why wouldn't you get more from the Lord? Because they're trying to say, no, it's not the form of the Lord, it's going further into Brahman. That's why it's so intense. But dependence on the Upadis is ultimately an obstruction to the joy of samadhi and oneness. Therefore, how can the Upadis be accepted as the supreme tattva by your proofs? Right. Yeah, and so, but what's there is that the liberated souls themselves can see the difference and all that, right? Uttara, according to you, right? So now this is, the you means this, who's giving the argument. The Parabrahman manifests in the function of the pure consciousness. It manifests completely since it accepted that realization of Brahman is devoid of a trace of different parts. And one cannot accept an incomplete realization of Brahman, since merging and liberation are impossible by imperfect knowledge. Thus, it is not proper to accept some additional manifestation of Brahman in the form of the Vigraha of the Lord. So either, so then in that case, then there, how can they say that, no, but this is equal in Brahman, because then now you're getting variety, you're getting difference. And that's the one thing that they're opposed to. So how can there be some, you know, so, by having that complete understanding of Brahman, a part get you to that? How can there be a part? You know, even that they say that the soul is just a part of Brahman that's been separated, like in the pot, but how would you get a part? That means Brahman can be cut. You know, and Gita says it can't be cut. Right? So they just use, that's the point of the speculation. For them, it doesn't matter as long as they win the argument and come up with the conclusion that, you know, I can become Brahman like that, then they're fine. If no one opposes it, they would go on saying the same stuff. When they're opposed, then yeah, they start coming with newer and newer philosophies and even saying the older ones are wrong. But if the older ones are wrong, but the new ones are based on the old ones, then what? You know, if I have a rotten potato and, you know, okay, the potato's rotten, so let's turn it into something else. It's still made out of rotten potato. You know. Moreover, what does it mean when you say that the Vigraha is an upadi made of, quote unquote, pure sattva? Is this Vigraha a transformation of material sattva, or is it just material sattva itself very concentrated? Right, because they're saying this pure sattva, but the point is anything material is not pure. So now, how do they get there, they're using these terms? It cannot be transformation of material sattva, because transformation is impossible since rajas does not exist in it. Rajas causes transformation and action, whereas sattva is inactive. So how can there be a transformation of sattva since sattva doesn't transform? Only the mode of passion causes transformation. So then how would you get that? The Vigraha of the Lord cannot be just concentrated sattva, since the Vigraha, an effect, could only be the result of mixed sattva. Sattva cannot act on its own to become a Vigraha, right? Because you're saying he's only Vigraha. He is Vigraha. He's only sattva. But how would you get that sattva from the material mode? Because it would mean it would have to have passion in it to produce something, right? So, yeah. And thus the word Vishuddha, pure, would actually be meaningless in statements like Sattvam Vishuddham Shrayate Bhavan Stitao. You take shelter of Vishuddha Sattva bodies, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.34. Accepting that the Vigraha of the Lord is mixed Sattva, it cannot be suitable to manifest Brahman. What then to speak of the Lord's descriptive elements like color or fragrance, right? So just his manifestation is would be improper by this philosophy to manifest Brahman. You know, where would this come from? And at the same time as then you have, and this one thing doesn't match, then how is it going to match the color, the fragrances, and you know, all the other aspects? They would make one forget about Brahman, right? Because if they're material, they have to make you forget about Brahman. So as soon as you have passion, ignorance, then you're going to be forgetting. So how could you be absorbed in meditation? Thus, the vigrahas of the Lord are said to be the very forms of Vishuddha Sattva rather than upadis. So Vishuddha Sattva, that they accept that, then it must be a form of Vishuddha Sattva. It can't be material Sattva, like they're claiming. So it must be directly. So that means if it's directly Vishuddha Sattva, that means form can be transcendental. It's not an upadi, or placing an upadi as you're placing a designation on something that's something else. You know, like that. Yeah. They are the continuous shelters of Vishuddha Sattva. They are not transformations or expressions of material Sattva. Right? So he's made that distinction there. So it can't be something else. One says that the Kumaras realize Brahman by realizing the continuous Shuddha Sattva, Vigraha. That is not suitable since it requires too much distortion of the text. Because the text doesn't say like that. Te chakshataksha vishayam sva samadhi bhagyam. They saw that form with their eyes, which was a result of meditating on Brahman. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-38. They directly saw the form of the Lord. This refutes the argument that through the form they realize Brahman, which cannot be seen. No, so it goes the other way around. By their meditating on Brahman, then they were able to appreciate, you know, the other ways, because they were situated in that purity. Now coming in contact, they can appreciate the transcendental nature of, because that's, they're appreciating that this form is transcendental, because they're not an illusion. Therefore, when these things come up, then they know that this is real. Does that make sense?
All right.
Yes.
Maharaj, I think it's the standard way that people try to argue. When they feel that they are not at your level, then they try to pull you down to their level. As like...
Okay.
The Mayavad is here trying to do, because they can never be the Lord, because Lord is transcendental. Then they have to find fault in Lord to bring it to their level, rather than they qualifying to be an associate of Lord, like the devotees do the other way. It's like envy.
Yes, yes. That's the whole point, is they're thinking that they're functioning in a transcendental way, but they actually aren't. You know? That's the difficulty, is that they don't function on a transcendental platform. Because they're using some goodness, but they're actually only using, you know, a good quality of goodness, but they're not functioning on a transcendental platform. You know? Is that? Devarshi Prabhu?
Yes, Maharaj. So it seems that the four Kumara, it was the first time they were seeing the Lord with Jaya Vijay.
It appears so. Or at least, you know, first time seeing that where they appreciated. They may have seen before, but they were so, you know, absorbed in their Brahman that they didn't render any service. But now, somehow or another, they have rendered service. So, but basically, you get the idea, this is the first time they're seeing.
Yes. See, they have the right attitude at that moment.
Yes. But there's also the thousand-headed Purusha lives with Brahma. And so they may have seen him or other aspects. But they would just be looking at everything as Brahman. So then they would just be saying, the Lord is also Brahman. You know, so he can be a greater Brahman than everybody. You know, it doesn't matter. But somehow or another, now they've qualified.
Yes, yes. and they can offer prayers like that. They can
have, yes, so the Lord was very kind to them. That's all. That's the position. So where are we? Okay, the Shuddhasattva of the Lord mentioned is not material, and thus the forms of the Lord are not a transformation, a material sattva, or intense material sattva. Rather, they are manifestations of Shuddhasattva, which is self-manifesting. The forms are experienced as most blissful because they are completely devoid of all upadis. Right? So there's nothing falser. The Lord, he is Satchidananda. He is, his sarup is him. There is no inside, outside, this, that, blah. You know, so there's no upadi. Right? Because we say sarvupadi vinir muktam, we're giving up, okay, I'm identifying as a human or as a Brahmin or male or female or from this country or that country. Those are upadis because we're not, we're the soul. But for the Lord, he is that form, that sarup is him. You know, that arm is him, that head is him, his beautiful hair is him, his wonderful smile is him. Right, the dancing eyebrows is him. It's not an upadi. You know, so it's a direct manifestation of the Shuddhasattva. The Kumara saw that form devoid of all upadis. Descriptions of the beauty of the Lord's form became meaningful because of being self-manifested Shuddhasattva. Since the desired goal is accomplished by having the forms made of pure Shuddhasattva. Thus it is described that the Kumaras could not be completely satisfied on seeing his form. Nirikshya na vidrita drishaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.15.42. The word cha in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.15.42 indicates that the Lord, with descriptive elements like wind carrying the fragrance of the Lord's tulsi, surpassed the bliss of Brahman. Because like, they're trying to reverse it and says, oh, that bliss is coming from the Brahman rather than it's the other way around. The bliss of Brahman comes from the person. So therefore, the person must be, the experience of the bliss of the person is more intense than Brahman. They're trying to reverse it. Right, so that's the fun part, is by having this somehow or another covered extension, then is giving more bliss than the Brahman itself, because they're saying, oh, but that just comes from Brahman. But then before seeing that, they were absorbed in Brahman, they didn't get that bliss. So why is it then being absorbed in Brahman, now they're getting more bliss, but by seeing the form of the Lord, right? So it doesn't make sense. So that means, but they're trying to say is no, but that's because they're non-different from Brahman. But being absorbed in Brahman, they're not experiencing that. That means there must be something unique about the form. And so if it has that point of transcendence, then you know, that only is the way that you could have. But they're trying to explain is no, it's a transformation of goodness. But then why is it giving that experience of Brahman? Because if that's there, then why isn't anything else in the material world can't give you that experience, right? Because you can't have a transformation of mode of goodness because there's no passion, right? And so therefore it can't be pure goodness. And so other things in this world also aren't pure goodness. You know, they're what we call goodness, but they have that passion ignorance in them. So it's just, they're just saying things. That's the point, is the mind accepts material statements as real because of illusion. Because that's all. You being committed to something is your mind has to accept it. So when the mind's connected to Krishna, then it becomes perfect. Excuse me. And when the mind's not connected to Krishna, then nothing's perfect. If the Kumaras had developed a realization of the bliss of impersonal Brahman through seeing the Lord's form, from vidya, replacing akshara drushtam with vidya drushtam. The bliss would simply become a competition of upadis of vidya, bodily and mental ecstasy. One may try to explain the Kumara's bliss on seeing the Lord as a corruption of absorption in Brahman. Similarly to great sages like Vishishta lamenting for a son. That also has been refuted. Sridhar Swami says, they derive greater bliss from worshiping the Lord than from the bliss of Brahman. Thus there is variety in the Lord. So that's actually what's happening. So it's just, they're trying to avoid that there's any variety anywhere. Thus the Kumaras specifying variety. Let us go to hell if our minds can at least enjoy your lotus feet like bees. End quote. There's honey in the cupboard. Why go searching in the forest? It would be useless for the Kumaras to seek bliss in upadis rather than the real object. And they had no interest to seek out the impermanent. Right? So they're not interested in impermanence. So it has to be some transcendental aspect. And so then, And so why would they seek out here? Because it can't be, if they're saying it's something material, why would they be looking for Brahman in anything material that they've already given up? Right? So yeah, here, if there's honey in the cupboard, why go searching in the forest? So if there's already taste in Brahman, why would they be searching in form? But that's the whole point, is because they don't search in form. When they saw this form and had those transcendental ecstasies, then they could understand it's not material. So this is actually the Vishuddha Sattva. It's a direct manifestation. Moreover, they did not have a realization of non-difference. On the contrary, Nimur Niriksya Na Vitrita Dirisho Muda Kaihi. Not fully satisfied in seeing the Lord, they offered respects with their heads. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:42. Kamam bhava sva vrijiner nirayeshu na syad. Let us take birth in hell for our offenses, but let our minds enjoy your feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:49. The happiness of bhakti with differentiation of an object to whom to offer respect is seen in these examples. So they didn't just see it as non-different. They're seeing is that there's a difference here. Right? There's difference between the Brahman, difference between the lotus feet, difference between hell, all these things. So they're seeing the differences, but they're seeing it from the transcendental platform. Since the happiness is devoid of upadis of maya and arises without any inferior parts, it is not possible to make the happiness arising from the Lord into something else. The bliss is the play of the Sarup Shakti, without which nothing can be accomplished. So it's the Sarup Shakti, the Lord's internal potency. That's what's functioning here. And so that's you know, all we'll be dealing with. Let us accept that in the state of Jivan Mukta, when still possessing a material body. The manifestation of Bhagavan is more intense than Brahman, reflected in the upadis of vidya. But in the state of liberation, free of all upadis, even vidya, this is also so. That is very clear from the following. Right? So when they're on the liberated platform with the material body, right? So the Jivan Muktas, you know, just like we'll say someone's Brahma Bhuta. So that means they're liberated even though they're still within the body, right? So the manifestation of Bhagavan is more intense than Brahman reflected in the upadis of vidya. So when Brahman is reflected into the various things of knowledge that we define what things are there. This is this, that's that, this is real, this is goodness, that's ignorance. You know, this is favorable for Brahman realization, that's not. So they're seeing all these upadis. And so, but in the state free of all upadis, even the knowledge, it's just an experience, right? Therefore, then they're able to see this difference. So it's clear in this following. Persons who have realized you do not regard attainment of impersonalization as your mercy. What to speak of attaining a material position like Indra, which is subject to fear caused by the Lord raising his eyebrow? O Lord, those devotees surrendered to your lotus feet are expert knowers of rasa derived from narrations about your fame, which should be chanted and which purify everyone like a tirtha. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-48. Right, so they're making this distinction here that the level of the spiritual position of impersonal liberation doesn't compare to the transcendental position of service to the Lord. Uddhiti, Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees who take transcendental pleasure in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord do not care for any kind of liberation. Even if they are offered the five liberations, they refuse to accept them. As stated in the Bhagavatam in the third canto, materialistic persons aspire for the sense enjoyment of heavenly pleasure in the heavenly kingdom, but devotees reject such material pleasure at once. The devotee does not even care for the post of Indra. The devotee knows that any pleasurable material position is subject to be annihilated at a certain point. Even if one reaches the post of Indra, Chandra, or any other demigod, he must be dissolved at a certain stage. The devotee is never interested in such temporary pleasure. From Vedic scriptures, it is understood that sometimes even Brahma and Indra fall down, but a devotee in the transcendental abode of the Lord never falls. This transcendental stage of life, in which one feels transcendental pleasure in hearing the Lord's pastimes, is also recommended by Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was talking with Ramananda Rai, there were varieties of suggestions offered by Ramananda Rai regarding spiritual realization, but Lord rejected all but one, that one should hear the glories of the Lord in association with pure devotees. That is acceptable for everyone, especially in this age. One should engage himself in hearing from pure devotees about the activities of the Lord. That is considered the supreme benediction for mankind. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-48 purport. So he sees also Sukadeva Goswami, then he is going and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam because that's the natural position of the soul. So it's not necessarily on the Uttam platform that he's necessarily training anybody, right? It's just the nature of the soul to discuss about the Supreme Lord. So then being in the association of other living entities, he will discuss about the Lord. Some say that Brahman manifests in the consciousness as the form of jnana or prema, because the form of prema is specialized with upadis, right? Because they're always trying to say is that you're saying there's form, so it has to be upadis. They're attached to that idea. Any form has to be an upadi. There can't be forms that are not upadis. You know, so just they don't know. They're not fully, their knowledge is not complete. So they don't understand about transcendental form. Because the form of prema is specialized with the upadis, it is a special manifestation and is regarded as the highest attainment. But one should not think that prema is a variety of upadi. Bhavata kataya, those devotees surrendered to your lotus feet, are expert knowers of rasa, derived from narrations about your fame, which should be chanted and which purify everyone like a tirtha, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-48. This shows clearly that the spiritual variety is superior to the realization of imperial Brahman, impersonal Brahman without upadis, right? So material worlds will be inferior because of its upadis here and the illusion. Then giving that up, you have the impersonal Brahman without upadis, that will be superior to that, but superior to that is the spiritual variety, which is transcendental. There are no upadis, right? So you want to give up upadis, yes, but that doesn't mean it's not spiritual. Thus, the Lord with his intrinsic powers is the very form of happiness. In that form, he is a more intense manifestation than Brahman. Because Brahman is generic, so it's all generic, never will be as good as when it's specific.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Like we saw in the previous adhyaya, about Vaikuntha Dham, how it's like now it's different qualities, and then because of the presence of the Lord, it's always transcendental. So Dham is the situation. So the Brahman, the spiritual world, is actually the Dham itself. The Dham itself with its transcendental variety.
Yes. Yes.
So that manifestation which they are so much focused on, it's just the situation which is the Dham. And because of the presence of the Lord and devotees and all variety, then it gains like not that superior intensity than just experiencing the Dham itself without personalities.
Yes. Oh, because without personalities, but everything is conscious. So that means you'd have to have you know, nothing there. That's the difficulty. So then they're experiencing that, you know, the Brahma Loka, you know, in their mind just means the world of Brahman. You know, it's just that undifferentiated thing. So they've just, it is the existence without anything in it. But they're not appreciating that existence also means there can be other there can be forms that are transcendental, because you have Brahman, it's undifferentiated, but it's still a feature. You can still describe it. That's the point, is that if according to their things about upadis, they're defining Brahman by upadis. So that's the difficulty, is that it works up to a point for the renunciation of the material world is great. And so from that point, their philosophy works fine. But in dealing on the spiritual platform, then that's where they lose it, because they can't properly deal and discriminate. You know, they're still using upadis on that side and claiming upadis are material. But if the Brahman has these particular qualities, so unlimited, unchanging, and all, and you know, bliss, all these things, then that means then there are spiritual form and qualities.
Yeah.
And they're not upadis. So, because otherwise, then they can only tell how to get out of the material world. But once they get out, they don't know where they're going. They just know they're getting out of the material world.
Yes,
you know, it's like any other branch of material knowledge. Let's say like the astrologer, you know, then he can tell that, okay, at this point, the person leaves. They can tell, okay, this person leaves the universe. But they can't tell where he goes or what happens. They can only, it's like I'm sitting in this room, someone else is in this room, I can see they leave the room. I can't tell where they're going, what's happening out there. Is that as they walk out to the door, do they just kind of like merge into nothingness?
Yes, Maharaj.
You know, so that's the point, is they can't see, because that they're speaking and all that, according to their philosophy, is all upadis. So then everything they say is upadis. So then, but at least it's useful for getting out of the material world.
Yeah.
You know, and giving up the pain of the material world. But they are in no way are qualified to deal with transcendental knowledge and transcendental authority.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Also in the connection we saw in the beginning of this Sandarbha, that how Brahman without qualities doesn't exist at all. Like Ramanujacharya gives a very interesting big purport to prove that if you say that without qualities Brahman, where is it? It doesn't exist at all. So he completely disproves that there is nothing like that exists at all. It's illusory.
Yes, it's an illusion. It's an upadi that they say there's Brahman with no upadis. So that's the difficulty, is that. But that's what is there. It means Maya is already tricking all these living entities with all these variety of philosophies. And then Shankaracharya, his duty was to also, you know, continue that same, you know, path that's going on. Just that he's come to bring them back into the Vedic culture. Because ultimately then these living entities can take up, can then take up devotional service. But they won't do that if they're not following the Vedas. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yes, okay. Okay. That this form is the play of the Lord Sarup Shakti is proved by the experience of the wise. Even liberated persons make a form of the Lord and worship it. Sridhar Swami commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87:21. Yam sarve deva atma deva amananti mumukshavo brahma vadinas cha. All devatas, persons desiring liberation, and proponents of Brahman worship the Lord. Nrisimha Thapa Upanishad. Even the guru of Advaitis worship the Lord. Krishna Mukter Ijyate Vita Mohahi. Krishna is worshipped by the liberated who have destroyed illusion. Mahabharata. Having attained realization, how about Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhaktim Lavate Param. Having attained realization of Atma, being a pure soul, he does not lament for or desire anything except me, and looks upon all other beings as equally inferior. He attains bhakti in the form of realizing me, equally inferior, meaning that they're all servants of the Lord. They're all the pure souls. Muktanam api bhakter hi nityananda sarupini. Bhakti is a form of eternal bliss for the liberated. Shruti quoted from Bharata Tatparya. Aprayanat tatrapi hi drishtam. One should worship the Lord up till liberation and also after liberation, because that is stated in scriptures, Brahma Sutra 4.1.12. Sarva dainam upasita yavan muktim mukto yenam upasate. One should worship the Lord at all times until liberation. Even the liberated worship the Lord. Sau parna shruti madhva pasya. Patale kashya na pritir vimuktasyapi jayate. What liberated person would not develop love for the Lord in hell? Vishnu Purana 2:5-7. Brahma spoke thus to the devatas. Okay. Yeah. Having proved that Bhagavan is the most blissful form of the Absolute Truth, next it is shown that Bhagavan is the fulfiller of all the Purusharthas. Right, so now that we've established, you know, the understanding of his transcendental form, now we can go on to show how he's the goal of everything. Because right, otherwise, if he's not transcendental, how can he be the goal of anything? You know, I'm important, you know, but it shows he's the ultimate goal of everything. Okay, so stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.